The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So when people, many people that I know encounter Buddhism here in the West, they will often pick up a few simple thoughts, ideas, and think that's the whole thing. So for example, they might think that we're supposed to be mindfully in the present moment. And that's all you're allowed to do. No concern whatsoever about the past, no concern whatsoever about the future. Just be present. Some people might hear the idea that we're supposed to let go of attachments, of clinging, and they think that's all they're supposed to do, is let go. Or they hear this wonderful Buddhist word, attachment. In Buddhist English, attachment is bad. Heaven forbid. But that's the local idiom of Buddhist culture. That attachment involves, it's a synonym for clinging and grasping and addiction, and things like that. But in popular English, attachment has other meanings. And so then people think, well, I'm not supposed to be attached. And so I'll just let, you know, I'll just ignore my kid. But in popular English, it has a different meaning. So whenever you think that you know, if you ever hear yourself reducing Buddhism to like one simple little soundbite, and that's, you think, is all it is, and in doing that, you find yourself kind of turning away or closing the doors to part of your life, what's going on, watch out, because it'll probably come back and bite you. I think one of the things, another aspect of mindfulness, you know, as you probably, some of you know, that over the last 30 years or so, the word mindfulness has gotten to be more and more popular in English. You know, probably you can do a graph, you know, the uses of mindfulness in popular American culture, and, you know, it's probably gone up dramatically. I don't know if it's, you know, exponential growth, but it's certainly growing fast. And now, you know, it used to be that mindfulness was strongly connected to Buddhism. But now, Buddhism has been left in the dust, usage of that word. You know, it's been adopted by, you know, even a U.S. congressman who had written a book about mindfulness. And but this emphasis on mindfulness, as wonderful as it is, also can be reductionalistic. It kind of, you know, it kind of leaves out that Buddhism is actually meant to be all-encompassing of our whole life. And so to include everything as part of it, to practice with it, you know, how do you practice, how do you include everything, not to reduce it just to a simple thing, that just be mindful. I felt somehow bad sometimes when people have listened to me for a long time and they think all they're allowed to do is to be mindful of their experience. That's, you know, sums it all up. Mindfulness is great, right? But to limit it to that. So to give you... So this thing about being in the present moment, I've seen that also in Buddhist America, that the present moment sometimes is held up as kind of like the god of the Buddhist world. You know, it's like this is the ultimate, the most sacred, just, you know, just now. You know, just it's all about here and now. And everything's going to be okay if you just be here and now. Traditionally in Buddhism, your past is important and your future is important. And if you don't take it into account in a healthy way, your past or the future, you leave out a big part of who you are, really, what the situation is all about. So to have some way of including the past, but not to be caught up in the past. Like when you meditate, you want to be in the present moment. But in a bigger way of encompassing our life, we want to take into account where we've come from, our background, maybe where our ancestors come from, you know, the whole picture of conditionings and cause and effects that brought us to where we are now. And also some sense of the imaginary future, just that the future is always a prediction, it's always an imagination, but to take it into account, it's part of our life, is to think ahead and plan ahead and imagine, you know, so I'm beginning to imagine, trying to visualize when I'm going to have time to do my taxes. You know, and I better spend a little bit of time thinking ahead, because I guess April 15th is going to show up, and that's going to be the present moment. That's going to be a very full one if I don't plan ahead. So this past and the future is a very important part of, you know, of overall a wise life. So I want to talk a little bit about the past and the future in a very particular way. And that is one of the roles that the past has for in Buddhist practice is that we want to focus on our past so we can learn from it for how to go into the future. In terms of the past and the future, the emphasis in Buddhist practice is on the future. Looking ahead, how you can do better, how you can practice, how you can improve yourself or improve this world. So Buddhism tends to be forward-looking, but you don't want to ignore the past, you want to learn from the past. So, for example, some of you might have all kinds of regrets about the past or struggles about what happened in the past. And it might be a burden for you, might be held down by that, preoccupied with it, by it. The past, you know, if you've made mistakes in the past, the idea is to not ignore it, but to learn from it, not to be burdened by it, but to learn from it to see how you can do better in the future. And in seeing how you can do better in the future, to be inspired by that, to kind of be hopeful or kind of be positive or, yes, you know, I'm going to try to do better. Rather than being, oh no, what did I do yesterday? Oh no, what a terrible person I am. There's no hope. Rather than kind of being pulled down by the past, learn about it, look at it just enough so you can get some idea of how you can do better. And then be inspired by the possibility of doing better. I'll do better this afternoon. I'll do better. Now I know what I can try to do. Now I know what the practice is. I might not be able to do better, but I know what I want to do. I'm going to try. I'm going to try to be kinder to my neighbors. I'm going to try to be a little bit kinder to myself. I'm going to try to be more present in those difficult situations where I lose my mindfulness. I'll try, you know. But to be inspired by the possibility of this kind of growth in the Dharma. So we look at the past to learn from the past, not to be weighed down by it. We look into the future not to be afraid of it and not to be caught up in desires about it, but rather look into the future to have a sense of a vision of what's possible and to be inspired to act on that, to be different, to live differently, to make a difference in the world for ourselves and for others. And in the junction between the past and the future is the present. And the present has a very important role in our life. And that's where really our life occurs. It's no longer occurring that which was in the past. It hasn't occurred yet what's in the future. Here's where it really occurs. So this is where you can make a difference. But you can make a difference here and now by having a vision, having an intention, having a sense of being inspired for what's possible. And without that possibility of being inspired, what's possible, if it's just about being present and having no desires, that's a great way of being depressed. Okay, so those are my thoughts. And now we have about 15 minutes.